You are listening to Anamkara, a podcast about the spiritual journey and what makes us human. Anamkara is a soul friend, a person with whom you can share your deepest thoughts, feelings, and dreams with. In this podcast, I will share my journey as well as occasionally have guests from myriad different religions and walks of life. And for a time, we walk together and learn from each other's journey. So come along with us and be an Anamkara, a soul friend. Hey friends, this is Pax here. Rather than interviewing someone for this episode, I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about what I believe and what are my truths, and challenge you to think about what are your truths that you found. So with that, let's go ahead and just start the conversation. Religion and people's experience of it has always been fascinating to me. Anyone who listens to this blog knows that about me. From my religious beginnings and extreme fundamentalism as a teenager, to my exploration into two different religions' monastic experiences, to wandering with folks who often travel multiple paths, I found a richness and depths beneath each way. And so this journey has led me to several conclusions I call my truths. And I don't want you to mistake, these are based on what one teacher has taught me or one book or anything like that. These are things that I found to be true in my life. And the first one is that God does not seem to be very concerned with names, but simply is. And simply is within all things and within myself and within all people. So God, whether called God, spirit, the universe, or goddess, seems to be present everywhere, in everything and everyone. It seems as if we take one step towards the divine, she will take 10 steps towards us. And the funny thing is, those steps aren't necessarily outside in the outside world. These steps are going within. That's how we take that step. It is an opening to that sacred center within us. And I can see that sacred center in everyone I come in contact with. Christians might say this is Christ in all. That every person we meet is Christ, and in whom we live and move and have our being. Hindus might speak of the Atman within us and within all things, that God essence that is the spark of Brahman, or might even be Brahman. Buddhists might say we are awakening our Buddha nature. Whatever it is sacred. And it is for all intents and purposes, I label this God. Beyond religion, it is this sacred presence, regardless of names, within, without, in all people, including myself. The second truth I found is that this God, when I speak of God, is both personal and impersonal. And I guess, so for example, when I consider this presence within during meditation or contemplative practice, God is that sacred center, that divine presence, that it just is within me. Is this holy silence beyond words. And so in that way, it is God, not really as an energy, because that denotes motion. It just is a presence. It is. I am what I am. Also, though, this God at times also seems very personal. Sometimes in prayer, for example, when I was coming out, I was suicidal. I reached a point where I was breaking under this fundamentalist rule of who I thought God was and what I thought God and the Bible and the church demanded and who I was born, to the point of reaching that brink of suicide and praying and crying and begging for help. And I still remember as if yesterday that God wrapped her arms around me and brought on me this sense of peace and love that I really haven't experienced in such intense way since. And another way I experience God is very personal. I have a friend who lives on the streets without a home, without a house. And when I see her, I often feel this gentle nudge, not only to approach her, to see how she's doing, to talk and spend time with her. Maybe it's to offer food or drink, or see if she needs a coat or clothing, what she needs. And it's this nudge, it's this presence that I'm just aware of that's very personal. So that second truth for me is that when I say God, however you, whatever you label it as, is both personal and impersonal. And then there's that third one. And I'm going to speak very Christianese at first, and then I'll explain. That God has a calling on our lives. I know that sounds funny, but put it another way, we each have our dharma. Now, there is the dharmic way of living, which we're all called. We're all called to live this dharmic life. And that includes to speaking the truth in love, to act with compassion, to be kind and loving, particularly with the outcast and forgotten of society. That's the dharmic life. That's how we all should be. Then we also have a unique dharma that is specific to us. In our station of life, our unique jobs, our callings, our personalities, all the unique things that make us us, are called to be lived out in that dharmic life I spoke of. So if your calling may be, let's say, Dolly Parton's is to sing, she may be living her dharma and shining her light in a very unique way within her unique personality, within her unique calling as a singer, actress, and all the different things she does. We each have that. And when we're in alignment with that, we become a shining essence of God in this world. And we repair the world a little bit. We make it shine a little brighter. So that first one I mentioned is that God doesn't seem very concerned with names, but that God is everywhere in everything and every person, including ourselves. My second truth is that God seems both personal and impersonal. And yet in both, there's the silence and love. The third one is that God has this unique purpose for us as within the unique way we're called to live a dharmic life. And then that this fourth one kind of goes with that number three that I just mentioned. St. Teresa of Avila said something along the lines of, God has no hands or feet on earth but yours. I'm going to say that again. God has no hands or feet on earth but yours. We're the body of God. And being a human, I can only speak of us humans, but we are the way that God tries to heal, to restore, to light a candle in the darkness of this world. We are the cure for loneliness. We are the hope for social justice. I remember reading a book by Rabbi Harold Kushner called When Bad Things Happen to Good People, and he kind of argues the same thing. That God has no hands or feet on earth but yours. We're used to some of the Bible stories, reading them very literally, that these miracles happened, rather than reading the Bible as stories of people and how they understood God and how it evolves over time. One thing in experiencing some of the tragedies in my life, for example, within a matter of just a few years, my sister lost her husband. Then my mother lost her husband. And then I lost mine. And these weren't short, quick things. Tragedies happen in life. And when they're long and drawn out and you spend a lot of time in prayer, asking for healing, asking for many different things, and they don't necessarily happen. And I go back to this belief that God has no hands or feet on earth but ours. It kind of goes with that first thing, that God is everywhere and everything and everyone, including myself. That because God is within all, that is where God can act. Because God is not some big out there. There is no out there. It's all, God is within all. And so maybe that's the only way God can act. And so in order for this world to be a little brighter place, a little kinder place, it's up to us. What was that saying? We are the hope we've been looking for. Yeah. So again, these are my four noble truths. These are my four personal truths. Again, that God doesn't seem to care what we call God, but rather God is this presence in everyone and everything, including ourselves. That God is both personal and impersonal, that we may experience God as a presence, as an energy, but also as a loving personal presence. That God has a way for us that is unique, both a way for all of us to live and then a unique calling for each of us to live that dharmic life. And then the last one is that we are the hands and feet of God on the earth, that God has no hands or feet but yours, but ours. That's it. Those are my core beliefs in a nutshell. And it's funny because these beliefs are so freaking hard to fully embrace in my mind and in my heart and in my actions. Because each of these aren't just beliefs about God, but rather is how I live in this world and how I treat others, how I treat myself, how I treat nature. I mean, how would I act if I truly saw God or Christ in each person? Or if I saw Christ in myself, if I truly understood that, how might I live? How might I treat my body? How might I treat others? I think of that story of Beauty and the Beast and the old woman, which I believe in some stories that basically it was the goddess coming to the prince's door and offering the rose. So here comes the goddess in this distressing disguise as a smelly person who lives on the street. How do we respond when the divine comes in a guise we don't recognize, we don't like, maybe that repulses us? How do we respond? So that's why I say it's hard to live. How would you respond? So think about it maybe this week. What are your core beliefs that you've found to be true? Not based so much on what others have told you or what you've read, but that you found true yourself. Enjoy the thought. I'll talk to you soon. This has been another episode of Anamkara, A Friend on the Journey. Thank you for walking with me as we spent time exploring the varieties of religious and spiritual expressions out there. Won't you consider joining our Patreon? Get sneak peeks of what is to come, early previews, and soon to have some video footage from the interviews, as well as polls on what you would like to see covered in future episodes. Join our Patreon today. The link is in the show notes.